Blog Talk Radio.
A new
direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Joshua, Lord, and billions and trillions warriors, angel, archangel, to protect the home, my family, his office, my brothers and sisters, home and family, Lord, their computer, their internet, Lord Jesus, protect us from north to south, east to west, up and down, in Jesus' name, mighty Lord, mighty Yeshua, we pray in your name, Lord, and we ask in your name, mighty Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord Tower. This is your holy brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Hope everyone can hear me fine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. We are so thankful for the opportunity to come again another Tuesday for our Bible study. Hallelujah. Well, I will encourage you that if you have any question, ask. Praise you, Lord, and we will answer. We are here to learn from the Word of God. Everything we need to know of this life and the life to come, heaven and eternity are in the Word of God. And the Lord will reveal it to us when we ask. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jahash, amen. Thank you, brother, amen. Before we proceed, amen, I'd like to make sure everybody has sound, amen. Thank you, Lord. We're having the weather. We know that the machine CERN is causing a lot of different weather effect. That's practically what's going on in the air, amen. But the Lord is going to stop this machine. He's going to stop them and destroy them, where they cannot use it anymore because they are causing so much harm to the planet, to the bird, to the fish, to the animal. Animals are whale, sharks, fish are so confused because all these messaging, all these message they sending into the earth, all these lighting effect being sent from satellite and communication coming to the earth every second. It's confusing the daylight out of the fish, bird, and all kinds of animal. They're acting crazy. Our dogs, our cats are acting crazy. My brother and sister, all these satellites are hurting. Our animals are hurting. Our planet. We need to pray. We need to intercede. We thank God that God has spoken to his prophet, that he sees all this and he's going to stop their machine. He's going to break them down. We're going to take them years to restore them. But in the midst of a famine and an economy falling, it will be impossible for them to restore everything the way it is now. And I am so glad and I am so happy for that, my brothers and sisters, because we will get some kind of normal, which we haven't been since the garden, since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. There's nothing normal in regard to this life. Thank you, Lord. The Lord spoke with me this morning. Hallelujah. And I want to share what the Lord has to say. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. He is going to answer prayer. We are entering into the season. Amen. praise the Lord. Let's go to the Ecclesiastes 3, my brother and sister, and let's begin there, then we'll go to Genesis. But let's go to Ecclesiastes 3, because it's the wisdom that God gave Solomon, my brother and sister, that gives us a good understanding of what is happening or what God is about to do. And Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. You see how God, everything that he has planned to do for our lives in this life, okay, it has been purposed. It has been planned. It has been established. It has been set to be done in a season. Okay? We know that a season is three months. We have four seasons in the year. That's why the year is composed of 12 months, my brother and sister. Amen. We got the winter, spring, summer, and autumn, my brother and sister. And four. In those 3 months, God will do mighty things. When it's the season, there's a season for you to pray, and there's a season for you to fast and seek God, and there's a season where God will answer you. Very important. Now, Solomon shared under the wisdom of God what happened during these seasons. Okay? And let's read it so we can be enlightened, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. In regard to what happened during the season, and there are specific things that God will do in that season, in that specific time. Amen. The Bible uses the word due season. Okay? I looked up the word due. What does the word due means? It's like a woman who is due to have a baby in a certain month. That's the due season. Okay? It's an expectancy. It is a time to expect. So in due season, expect it or plan or a certain time. A baby due in August, an example. That's the due season. Amen. So if God said, I'm going to answer your prayer in due season in that 3 months period, give you an example, you will see it happens. Okay? Now, let's read Ecclesiastes 3 in regard to this season. And the Lord spoken and confirmed to me this morning that we're entering into a season where he's going to answer prayer, my brother and sister. We're entering into the season of the revival, okay, which is very important. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So in Ecclesiastes 3 says, amen, that and to everything that there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven, okay? So God is the one who made the season. When we read Genesis, it tells us that he's the one that established the season, and it tells you exactly how he did all that, which we're going to go into it to explain that, my brother and sister. Amen. So unto everything, every single thing, okay, under the sun, there's a season. Okay? Keep that in mind and keep that in your heart, because you can pray, Lord, is this my season? Lord, answer me in due season. You can see God in due season. You can hear from God in due season. Okay? Praise your Lord. Very important, because it's biblical. Anything that is in the Word of God, you can take into prayer. And that's qualified as perfect prayer. A lot of people don't know how to do perfect prayer. Perfect prayer is anything God said for you to do. His commandments are perfect. And if you pray his commandment, you are praying a perfect prayer, because his commandments are perfect. Align 100% according to his plan. My brother and sister. He tells us of his plan through his commandment. My brother and sister. So we pray for wisdom. We pray for knowledge. We pray for understanding. Okay? And if you don't understand the season as I'm going to explain it tonight, listen, hear it, receive the word, and take it into prayer. Very important. Fasting and prayer. Fasting, if you do fasting, you're being sincere. If you do prayer from your heart, You're truly seeking understanding. Because it said when you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. Very important. You understand this. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let go. Unto every season, there is a time for any purpose under the heaven. Okay? God's purpose is planned for our lives. He plans them for us before we are born, before we come onto this earth. God told this to Jeremiah, that before he was born, he declared him to be a prophet unto the nation. So it's not that you are being born, that you are in this time serving God. This is not a coincidence at all. This was planned by God, okay? And your blessing and our blessing are planned in due season, set by God in due season to come to our lives. And when you enter into that season, you receive it. Not before and not after. It has to be in the season of God because that's when God planned it. Imagine 300 million years ago when God planned to bless you in this season. Think about it for a second. Okay? When did God plan it that this would happen over your life? 300 million years ago or 300 billion years ago. God planned that in this season, he was going to bless you. Okay? So it was planned specifically for you for this time. So this is when you go into prayer, when you proclaim and declare God's promise, you're going to receive it in due season because that's when God's planning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They are promises that you can proclaim anytime. And it can come over your life also anytime. Because the Word of God works in season and out of season. Okay? In season and out of season. Because the word of God is alive. But that requires faith. A lot of faith. Strong faith. Firm faith. Where there's no doubt and no unbelief. And there's been people who reach this level of faith where they can come to God in that out of season time and have proclaimed something very strong from the Lord by faith and have received it. And other people who are asking are waiting for the season. Well, this other person out of season just received something. Okay? Just receive a prayer, their prayer request. How is that? Faith, because faith moves the mountain, okay? Faith moves the mountain, okay? Faith moves the unmovable. In other words, mountains are immovable, okay? Just like Jerusalem has mountains around it, so is the Lord around his people, the Bible says, okay? Those mountains are immovable, and faith moves the mountain. Faith moves the unmovable things, and that is all said by God in season, in out of season. Praise your Lord. But again, this takes faith. Okay? It takes faith. To receive from God a season, it's going to take strong faith. Okay? The rest of the people receive it in season. Okay? There are very few that can reach those level where they can receive out of season. The rest of us is in season. Thank you, Lord. We need to grow in faith. This is why we ask for the Lord to increase our faith every day. Every day. Okay? In season, in our season. Okay? Because it's going to take faith for you to ask him to increase your faith every day in season, in our season. Let's read the word and then we'll go back to it. A time to be born. You see that everyone is born in a season that God has set from heaven. A time to die. We all die when God sets the time when you and I are going to die. I asked in heaven, when did God plan for me to die? And I was told that I'm supposed to die at 73 years of age, my brother and sister. Okay? At 73 years of age. That's when God said that I'm supposed to die. Everyone is set by God to die in a different time. Could be in the earlier or later time. Everybody assume this, that everyone is supposed to die of old age. Okay? But it's God who says when. we die and we're born. In the season we're born, in the season we die, my brother and sister. Okay? A time to die, a time to plant. Okay? And people can say, oh, you can plant anytime. If you got a garden, you can plant every year. Okay? Every year you can plant. But it falls in the season of the year. See how it is? It falls in the season of the year. Okay? Usually you plant in March. March, April. That's when you usually people is recommended to plant. You can look it up. And that falls into the season. Okay? A time to plumb up that which is planted. Summer and a summer. Usually. A time to kill. A time to kill, my brother and sister. They got all the Israel to go and do war with the Amalekite and destroy them. Then that God came to Moses and said that all these nations that were before them, he was going to remove them. How? By killing them. Okay, there's a time that God has set for everything, my brother and sister. A time to heal. In other words, a time for healing. God has set a time for healing. We cannot by faith that the Lord will heal us at any time, in season, in out of season, and because his word is alive, his word is true, his word is power, it can happen in season, in out of season. But when you are asking God to do a miracle in your life to heal your body, okay, you begin to pray in a season. God plans in a season to heal you. It may not be in the same season. You can start this year and be healed next year. But you got to keep doing it every day, my brother and sister, until your season come and you be healed. If you have the faith to be healed early, God will heal you also. Amen? We're talking about in season. Also in due season and out of season. We're going to leave the due season a little bit afterward in the out of season a little bit afterward so we can look it up and show it, my brother and sister, because faith moves the mountain. And mountains are movable. Okay? That means that out of season you can receive, in other words. And you can give also. Jesus said, okay, for the apostle, for the disciple, to evangelize out of season, my brother and sister, which we'll share later. But right now, we stay in season. That means that when you are praying, when you are fasting, when you are asking, you are going to receive in the season that God has established for you to receive. Thank you, Lord. A time to cure, a time to heal, a time to break down, okay, and a time to build up. A lot of time when you buy an old house, too old, it's better to bring it down and build it back up again. And a lot of companies do that. Okay? It's better to break down a lot of time and build up again. And God in our sins will break us in order to build us in the likeness of Christ. Okay? Because it's better off. Okay? Remember about the parable of the wine? You don't put new wine in no vessel, in no container. It will break when the new wine ferments. Okay? Because there's a lot happening. And that old container will not be able to hold it. My brother and sister. And that a lot of time happens for us. We need to be broken to receive the new wine. And the Lord knows how to do that in our life. And you can ask for it. You can ask the Lord to break you, to pour more of himself into your life. You want to have more presence of God of you in your life every day? Ask the Lord to break you. It is the only way he can give you more wine, more of his presence, my brother and sister. Okay? More of his presence comes when he breaks you. And the more he does it, remember a brother saying, oh, I love from the Lord to break me. It hurts during the process, but he had a tremendous presence of the Lord in his life every day. And it was through the brokenness. You want it? You want to have his presence. You want to have more of him. Ask him to break you. Ask him to break you. He'll give you more. Thank you, Lord. Our brother said, hallelujah. He said, well, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. My brother quoted that one time. Because everybody's talking about being filled with the Spirit. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I have a little, it's enough for me. He says, praise you, Lord, it's so funny. A time to break down. A time to build up. A time to weep. Don't try to be so strong that when the Lord wants you to weep, wants you to cry, be broken. Cry for the situation. Okay? If the situation breaks you, it doesn't make you weak. Actually, it makes you strong. That's what it does in the Lord. Okay? Our strength comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will break you until you cry to make you stronger. Thank you, Jesus. A time to laugh. There is a joy that comes from the Lord. Heaven is joy in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. He can give you a taste of that down here. My brother and sister, he can give you that joy. The joy he gives you is not like the world. Like his peace is not like the world. Totally different. And it's new. Okay? It's new. And everybody, when you receive it, it's like you never heard of it like it. When you experience it, that's why we are all encouraged to seek the Lord. Experience the Lord in a personal relationship, because each and one of us experience it differently, because each and one of us are unique. When Sister Luna experienced the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, experienced Jesus, she's going to experience it in a special way like nobody else. Why? Because she's unique. You see what I'm saying? Everyone is unique. Not everyone experienced the Lord the same. And so when you are in heaven and you get to go to the throne, you will experience Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a special way. Untold, unheard. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I'll get into that in a few minutes. How some people in India are being forced to be vaccinated. It's happening. A lot of people fear that will come to the U.S. Amen. So a time to laugh, a time to mourn. Okay? When someone in your family died, mourn. Okay? Don't ignore the pain. Mourn. Okay? Mourn. Really take the time to mourn. Very important. A time to dance. Okay? You will dance in the presence of the Lord for sure. You will. A time to cast away stone. Okay? And a time to gather stone together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rent, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate. Sounds like in this end time, the time to hate is here. But we need to love also. You know, when God wants you to love, you got to seek that from him. That's why the first commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Time to love him. Okay? Because you don't want him just moving with hate and hate and hate and hate. No. The love of God will stay with you for all eternity. When everything finished, including prophecy, love will remain. Remember that. Thank you, Lord. A time to work. A time for peace. Okay? What profit has he that worketh in that which he labor? Okay? I seen the travail which God had given unto the Son of Man to be exercised. He had everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so no man can find out the work of God made from the beginning to end. Okay? So, verse 13, also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. This is the gift of God. My brother and sister, some people don't have this gift. Okay? Some people don't have this gift. Solomon said this is a gift for God to be able to enjoy what you have. And that is so true. If you feel like you're not enjoying, then you may want to pray for that gift of God. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Remember, all these things are gifts. I was listening to someone share the word. And then she said about the gift that we can ask the Lord to be able to do these things. And boom, I got, it was like a light that hit me. Whoa, that is so true. He has to gift us in order for us to be able to do these things. Okay? So eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. That is a gift for God. Amen? A lot of people are not able to do so because they don't have the gift. Everything they have is so difficult for them. They're not able to enjoy. It's all in pain and suffering. Okay? They don't have the gift. Okay? Thank you, Lord. So, hallelujah. We're entering into the season where the Lord's going to answer prayer. My brother and sister, in a special way. Okay? When we began reading Genesis 1:14, saying, God said, let there be light in the firmament and the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for a sign and for season and for day and for years. Again, a season is 3 months. Genesis 44, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, given the responsibility, and he served them, and they continue a season under the guard. Joseph did this in prison for a season, 3 months, my brother and sister. Now, in our time in regard to the moon, the sun, is 3 months. Sometimes it goes longer. We make, if we walk in obedience, a season is only 3 months, normally. That's what we know by the word. In other words, if you're praying for your healing, you, in 3 months you should receive the answer of your prayer. And obedience, this is under obedience. We know of Israel in the wilderness under disobedience that it took them 40 years before they entered the promised land. Shalom, Sister Renee. Very important, my brother and sister, okay, that we understand that under obedience to the word of God, the commandments, you will receive, you can receive in those 3 months the answer of your prayer, okay? Anything else will take longer if it's not in obedience. And that's how we know whether we're walking in obedience or not, because the Lord will say to you, okay, your season is, you're not in season yet. That due season is in the timing when you're supposed to receive it. If it's in 3 months, it's 3 months. But if you're struggling with obedience, it can take a year, two, or more. You see? So then, because we focus on what we want, but not what the Lord wants. If you focus on the Lord and what the Lord wants to help you to keep the commandment, you're going to receive your healing request, your prayer request, whatever it is, sooner, quicker. It won't take too long. You won't even say how come it's taking so long. When you say it's taking so long, that means you're not there where the Lord wants you to be. You got to ask Jesus to help you. It's a personal struggle that each and one of us has with the Lord in our relationship with him, because this is individual, personal relationship with Jesus. That's what we being called unto. My brother and sister, your situation don't compare with anybody else, because it's your personal relationship with the Lord. It's your walk with him. And if you're asking the Lord daily to help you to keep the commandment, to be holy and to be righteous, to walk with him, and that his will be done in your life and not your own, if you're there with the Lord, the season is due for you to receive. We're entering into a season. The Lord spoke to me this morning. hallelujah, in prayer, the Lord was showing me a few things this morning. I said, Lord, we're entering into the season for a prayer to be answered, Lord. And he said, yes, I'm going to answer your prayer, he says, which made me very happy. I wanted to hear him say that. Praise the Lord, because he did tell me we were entering into the season. And I wanted a confirmation in regard to that. Praise the Lord. And I'm so happy that I got it. Amen. He's going to, as he was talking to me and showing me things that will be unfolding for his people. Houses. Some people are going to get the house they've been praying for. The car. My brother and sister. The family being saved. He showed me a family members being saved that are not saved. As people been asking the Lord to save them, he was showing me family member coming to the Lord. He showed me something so awesome in regard to people being saved. He showed me the heart of a man, my brother and sister. And he showed me him, this person was backsliding, not seeking the Lord as it should, backsliding in the things of the world, focus. And this other Christian was praying for him. This brother was praying for this man to really serve the Lord. And I stopped when the Lord made his heart straight. May he just, the backsliding like spirit, it was like the anointing of the Lord went over his heart and broke the yoke that was keeping him from being focused on the world, my brother and sister. I never seen it like the Lord showed me this morning. I marvel at this. Wow. The anointing broke the yoke on this man's heart. And I saw when the Lord makes his heart straight, his heart was like, as the Lord said, that the faith, if your faith is not constant, it's unconstant. The Bible compares it to the water, the sea water, moving back and forward, unconstant. And that's kind of how I saw this heart of this man. It was not for the Lord 100%. And I saw how the Lord got a hold of his heart because of the prayer this person was doing for this. I don't know if it was his father. I believe it was. And the Lord just set his heart straight and showed me him doing so. My brother and sister, wow, that's incredible. He was immediately on fire for Jesus and love with the Lord and rejected everything, every desire he had for the world. He began to reject it right away. Oh, that was so awesome to see. Praise the Lord. Repenting right away. Hallelujah. Saying I'm sorry to the Lord. And just wanted the Lord. And wanted to be with the Lord, nothing else. Thank you, Lord. Calling his Lord his God right away. It will happen in the moment the Lord changes heart. Boom. It's like I was seeing salvation being performed by the Lord in someone's heart. Because you're backsliding, your person was in sin. And as this person was praying for this person and that God changed his heart, person immediately was repenting. Hallelujah. Wanting nothing else but Jesus. God, that's it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord was talking to me, that he will be doing for his people that are asking him to pray to save their family. He's going to change their heart. My brother and sister, he's going to set them straight back to him again. And soon as he's changed their heart, like he said, he's going to move the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, the prophet Ezekiel said, my brother and sister. And as he gives them a heart of flesh, a heart that beat for the Lord, that move for God, that desire only God and nothing else. Hallelujah. Our family, our friends, whoever it is, will only serve Jesus. Hallelujah. So the great moment of salvation is here. Hallelujah. Because we're moving into the season where the Lord said these things will begin to happen. We'll begin to see them happening right before us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He was granting gifts to some for things that people have been asking him. If you're paying your mortgage, your car, whatever it is, the Lord will grant you to pay it off in this season that we're entering. Ask him for it. Ask him to, hallelujah, set his feet on your death, that they will be smashed to nothing. And they will be paid off by the Lord. He'll provide you the money to pay it off. Don't take the money for nothing else. If you are asking the Lord to supply you the money to pay off your debt, make sure you pay off your debt. My brother and sister, you do not want to go into a season where the economy is going to fall and death, because that will be very hard, very difficult, especially if you lose your job, if you have to close down your business, okay? Or if your business slowed down, you may not have to close it down. But what happens if it closed down 90%? Are you able to pay your bills? A lot of people's answer will be no. Then this is the time for you to take it before the Lord and go into a season without any debt, where the Bible said that you will need to borrow. You will lend, but you will not borrow. Amen. You will be the head and not the tail. Praise the Lord. This is the time. This is the time, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In regard to keeping God's commandment, Exodus 13:10 says, thou shalt therefore keep thy ordinance in his season from year to year. You don't waver on this. That's why we need to ask the Lord to help us. Every year we keep it. We keep his word. We keep his commandment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Leviticus 26:4. Then I will give you rain and dew season, and the land should yield her increase, and the tree of the field should yield their fruit. Thank you, Lord. I remember, I don't know, about 2 years ago, there was no rain in Africa for several months. The brother was listening to me and said, brother, would you pray that we will get rain in Africa? Thank you, Lord. We began to pray. That same week, my brother and sister, they had more rain than what they needed. Brother was stunned. Brother Alfie, wow. Said, brother, we came in. Didn't we not come in agreement in this? I talked about agreement and the Lord, that was all the time. All the time. My brother and sister. Okay? And I tell people, let's pray in agreement. Don't say, brother Elvis, can you pray for this? What in you is better for you to say, brother Elvis, pray in agreement with me about this matter for this petition. With two gathered in my name, there I will be, the Lord says. Whatever you ask my Father in agreement, thou shalt receive it. In my name, thou shalt receive it, Jesus said. My brother and sister, agreement is so powerful. For over 20 years, I think, mighty miracle of God in agreement. Mighty salvation. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Mighty miracle. Including people coming from the dead. God giving life back to the body. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Many people being saved and delivered through prayer agreement. I totally believe in that. Because the Lord showed it to me in his word in the beginning. And that's what I've been giving to people. Let's pray in agreement. You're asking someone to pray. You're depending on that person's prayer. But you're praying with someone. You're depending on God's prayer. And God, because God said to do it in agreement. Very important, my brother and sister. You're asking someone to pray. It may fall under idolatry. Are you listening? Because Jesus said, pray for one another. You pray, he pray. You pray, he pray. Okay? Agreement. Agreement. Okay? You're not focused on someone. You're focused on Jesus. You're not focused on a human. You're focused on the Lord. You're depending on the Lord. You're doing what the Lord is saying. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't say it was idolatry. It may fall under idolatry. It may, because your heart can be on, if that person pray, then I'll receive. Now, if we pray, God would answer. It's different. Different. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. His word is true. Hallelujah. And it's coming to pass more and more and more and more and more. Hallelujah. More right before our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Psalm 1:3. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Okay? Praise you, Jesus. When we are walking according to the calling of the Lord, I believe, hallelujah, in the guidance of the Lord, this happened. We shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. The river of water is the Holy Spirit. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Who bringeth forth his fruit in season. Who made sure that our fruit are there when we're walking with him and the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Lord are love, peace, joy. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. When we're walking, when those fruits are manifested in our life, that's when we know we're walking with the Lord. There are people who are not giving out those fruit. It's hatred, evil, fighting, arguing. Those are the fruit they're producing in the life. And those are the fruit of the flesh. That the Bible said that those, Paul says to the Galatians, that those that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So God don't want us to practice the fruit of for us to have in us and practice the fruit of the flesh. My brothers, it's about the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit, the Bible says. In other words, no one can say, if you are being told by the Lord to do this and to that, no one can say you're going to go to hell. Because there's no condemnation. My brother and sister, you cannot be condemned for what you're doing if you are being led by the Lord, Father says. Remember when Father said that to me? Praise the Lord. So we can have that peace, that there's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. That's why each believer needs to be led by the Spirit. Don't let people, the devil, bring condemnation on your life if you're walking after the Spirit. When you're talking about the things of the Spirit and how God is leading you, don't let them bring condemnation on you, because there is no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. Very important that as a Christian, you know this. Because sometimes people are being accused, oh, you Christian, always talking about God, always Bible this, the Bible that, and they want to bring condemnation on you. No. There's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. Don't let them be your judge. Because if God, who is the judge of all, don't judge you, why would you let men judge you? Think about it for a second. If God, who is the judge of the living and the dead, don't judge you for these things, how can you let men and the devil judge you for it? My brother and sister, no. I thank you, Lord. Stand on the word of God. Very, very important. Hallelujah. We follow the Lord. The Lord leading. Thank you, Jesus. His leading. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In all life as it is in heaven, my brother and sister. Don't let them bring condemnation on your mind and your life. Live for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 104:19, he appointed the moon for a season, the sun knowing his time to go down. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Psalm 104:27, these all waited upon thee, that thou may give them their meat in due season. hallelujah, your probation has already been set by the Lord for you and I to receive it in due season, in a specific season, my brother and sister, in a specific time. God has set it for you to receive your blessing, your provision. You keep praying, you keep asking for God to provide you, to take care of you and your family. And the Lord, my brother and sister, in that due season, a woman have a baby in 9 months. My brother and sister, that's the season when she going to have that baby. But that season takes 9 months. Okay? Your petition may take 9 months. Okay? A season is 3 months. Remember that. You can pray for that season, and the Lord can answer in that season. You'll see it. Even way before the 3 months or the month is over, you'll receive it. My brother and sister, I heard of people that asked the Lord for something. The Lord says, in 30 days, you're going to receive this, and they receive it. They have that faith with the Lord, because Jesus said to the people, let it be done according to thy faith. If you have the faith to receive it in 30 days, you are going to receive it in 30 days. Okay? It doesn't matter what mountains stand before you in your petition, in your blessing. If you have the faith, the mountain will move, and you will receive it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But God is greater than the mountain, and God can level the mountain, the Bible says, in order for you to receive your blessing. You can move the mountain by faith, or you can believe God to move it for you. Okay? You're waiting for God to move the mountain because you maybe don't have the faith for you to speak to the mountain, be thrown into the sea. Because if you have a faith, the mountain will obey you, Jesus said. Praise the Lord. So you have the one that is waiting on the Lord to do it, because the Lord can do anything. When the one that will speak to it, and like that man that came to Jesus, what did he say? Lord, not to come into his house, but to speak the word, and his servant will be healed. The Lord marveled that he said that this man had more faith than everyone in Israel. He had not found another person that has said to the Lord, just speak the word, Jesus. None of them said that. But that single man said, for him to speak the word, and that her servant will be healed. My brother and sister, that's the faith that speaketh to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, and the mountain obey. That's the only man in all Israel, when Jesus came, that had that type of faith, that will do it by the word, that believed that God can do it by the word. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. The Lord marveled this man. It's tremendous to find someone like this, my brother and sister, in all Israel. And there were millions of people. Only a single man believed that by the word of the Lord it will be done. And that was it. Thank you, Lord. From that very hour, that's why when you have that level of faith, from that very hour, read the story. From that very hour, his servant was healed, my brother and sister. He asked his servant, at what time was his servant healed? And he was healed from that very hour, my brother and sister. It happens right away. There's no limitation to the word of God. There's no limitation, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. That's the Lord displaying to us the power of his word, the power of asking. Ask. And thou shalt receive. But when you ask by faith, not doubting, he said, this man had no doubting and unbelief. He must have been repentant for years before Messiah came. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. A lot of these testimonies, stories, we never think that these people were already repenting before God and seeking the Lord. Because some of the disciples of Jesus, like John, was already walking with John the Baptist for years before the Lord. Remember, Isaiah prepared the way of the Lord. That's what John the Baptist was doing, baptizing people at the River Jordan. helping people repent their sin and trespasses. My brothers have insisted. So some of these people, their faith will be increased by the Lord prior to the Lord showing up in the scene, showing up in Jerusalem. So when they encounter the Lord, my brother and sister, the word, they encounter the word by faith, and whatever they ask, they receive right away. Every time you encounter the word by faith, you ask the word by faith, you believe the word by faith, you are going to receive from that very hour. Your faith needs to be there, my brother and sister, because the word of God is eternal. Encounter the word by faith and watch what happened. That's what they did. Let it be done, he says, according to thy faith. Let it be done according to your faith, Jesus said. Your faith. Your faith. They were already been repenting. They already been confessing the sin. They already been seeking God. So when they came across the word, whatever they asked, they received. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. You, my brother and sister, you are the one asking. You're the one that's going to receive. God is rewarding your faith at that moment. When you ask by faith, you receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Praise the Lord. Very few people walk in this level of faith. My brother and sister, God is not a respecter of a person. In other words, anyone that comes to him, he will receive, especially with faith, by faith. My brother and sister, that's why we got the book of Hebrews chapter 11, how from all the way from Abel, through Abraham and all of them, by faith, these men and women walk with God. And they ask God and they receive. My brothers and sisters. In other words, they were repenting. They were seeking God. They were confessing the sin. They were confessing anything that was not of God and asking God to help them. They depended on the Lord. Because the Lord said, I will share my spirit with the meek. They were humbling themselves and God was sharing his spirit with them. Filling the life with his spirit every day, men and women. That's why Esther, Sister Esther, who's in heaven, knew exactly what to do when she was chosen to be with the king, my brother and sister. She was seeking the will of God. She was seeking the things that were pleased unto God. And by seeking what pleases unto God, God is the one who set a table in the presence of your enemy. My brother and sister. And that's what God did for Esther. He prepared table in the presence of her enemy in the spirit. In the physical, you may not see it. But in the spirit, it was a table set for Esther in the presence of her enemy. That's why what she did will break the law of the land, approaching the king for the salvation of the Jewish people. But she did it by faith. And whoever approaches God by faith, God will honor you. Because the Lord said, I will honor them that honor me. You come to God by faith. He says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Jesus said, my reward is for me to give unto everyone according to thy word. He is our rewarder of them that daily seek him. You seek him every day. In good weather, in bad weather, with a headache, with no headache, sick or no sick, you pray. You seek. Seek and thou shalt find. You do this, my brother and sister. If you, with your limitation, can do this, imagine God who had no limitation, what he will do for you. My dear brother, my dear sister, Oh, praise the Lord. If you're seeking, you will find him. There's no limitation to God. Nothing can stop him or limit him. He does whatever he pleases. He are king. He removes kings. He shakes the earth like nothing. In the last day, he said he'll shake even the heavens. Nothing will go being unshaken from God, my brother and sister. One night, Jesus takes me out of my body and bring me before his throne. I was a few miles away from his throne. My brother and sister, I believe this was in the third heaven, second planet. My brother and sister, to my understanding, because the Lord has taken me to the third heaven, third planet, third heaven, second planet, third heaven, first planet. And I was set in the ground. I believe there was an angel on my right and on my left. The angel set me down in heaven. I began to walk to the throne of Jesus. I knew that a few miles in front of me was the throne of the Lord. I can see the throne, mighty, a marvelous throne of Jesus. Out of his presence, hallelujah, mighty power, lightning, thundering, and like nuclear weapon going off every single second out of his throne. I knew that if one of the shaking I saw, one of the thundering I saw coming out of his throne, if one of these hit the earth, our earth will be destroyed. I knew it. I knew it. Because it was too powerful, my brother and sister. These heavens are like endless, my brother and sister. The earth is like a marble that you put in your pocket compared to this planet up there. They're huge. And the Lord shakes them like nothing. And I can feel the earth, the floor in heaven, boom, 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 shaking out of the throne of Jesus, out of his presence. Thank you, Lord. And I was shaking under tremendous fear of God to approach the throne, but I knew he wanted me to come and see his throne. Thank you, Lord. I was being led to him. Hallelujah. And I began to walk to his throne with a tremendous fear all over my body. Through the marvelous cloud of power and thundering, my brother and sister, that word do no justice. Wait until you get there and see it. You'll say, Brother Everett, how can you describe this to us? My brother and sister, by my word, it might be impossible. I was walking to the throne. Thank you, Lord. And there was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had a crown over him. He was sitting on his throne, had a long garment on him, blue, beautiful blue, like navy blue color. But this blue, we might don't have that blue on the earth. Beautiful. Adorned. The form and shape of his clothing had like gold in precious stone on it. All the way from his neck down to his feet. I can see his long hair, beautiful hair the Lord has. My brother and sister, his eyes were piercing unto me. His eyes full of love, full of majesty and power. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. He had this beautiful smile that will conquer anyone's heart. On him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Angels serve him. Hallelujah. And they're so grateful to be in his presence. Hallelujah. They're so grateful. Hallelujah. He has a throne in third heaven, third level, third heaven, second planet, and first planet. He has a throne in all three of them. Thank you, Lord. I believe to all three thrones of him. Praise the Lord. It might be the same displays in three places, because he's Almighty God. It's how I seen it. It's how I describe it. It may be the same. But I know all three planets are different. The cities in those planets are different. My brother and sister. In the first planet, there are many testing centers, huge buildings, round, all round. My brother and sister. Where the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the angel test the new believer that comes into heaven with things that are not pleasing unto God. They're being taught the things that needs to be removed from the lie through testing and trial. And let me tell you, they can be painful there too. But with the Lord's help, everything is possible. With God, hallelujah, everything is possible. If you have any question from the Lord there, they immediately will call you the Bible. This is why, my brother and sister, we need to spend more time in his word. Because he explains everything to us by his word. He says to me everything that you need to know, talking about us. Hallelujah. And this life and the life to come, heaven, it's in my word, he says. Man thinks they can know my word without my help. He said, that's impossible. I am the one, he says, that reveal my word, he says. My brother and sister, ask the Lord to reveal his word to you. He'll reveal himself to you when you ask. That's why he said, ask and thou shalt receive. He wants to reveal himself to your life. Thank you, Lord. He knows our limitation. Hallelujah. He'll work with us right where we are. If we repent and ask him for help, he'll work with you. Right where you are, he'll work with you. Thank you, Jesus. The eyes of all wait upon thee, says David, that thou give them their meat in due season. Hallelujah. Are waiting upon Jesus to bless us, to give us what we need in order to do his work. Our desire in our heart must be to do his work, to do his will, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 13:24. He that fear his wrath, he hate his son. But he that loveth him, chastising him in good season. Praise the Lord. We have to discipline our children. They need to learn the discipline of what is wrong and what is right, what pleases God and what doesn't. We got to teach it to them. My brother and sister, we like to let them know what is of God and what is not of God. Doesn't matter how old they are, a year, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years. Been teaching mine since he was months, Levi. Tomorrow, the 15th, is his birthday, Friday, this week. Thank you, Lord. I've been telling him all week long is your birthday. Hallelujah. But he knows the word. Since he was months, we've been reading the Bible to him and telling him the word and putting Christian cartoons, movie to him, teaching him the word. So in school, when they want to teach him Harry Potter, any of those garbage of the devil from the pit of hell, he knows they're not of God. He'll tell the teacher that's not of God. He'll tell the student that's not of God. Not pleasing to God. And the teaching tells him to be quiet most of the time. Okay? Oh, Levi, we know your parent teaches not to watch that. So, okay, it's okay for you not to watch it, but let other children watch it or say. But teacher is not of God. He doesn't say it's not of my parents. He says it's not of God. It's not pleasing to God. And the teacher, they're surprised. Women in the 40, men in the 40, 50, 60, that should know the word of God, my brother and sister, learn through them what is not pleasing unto God. Well, God says for us not to watch what is out the devil, my brother and sister. Because everything of the devil will only hurt you and bring pain to your life. But everything that is a God bring peace, joy, and blessing to your life. The curse is the disobedient. The blessing is the obedient. If thou will hearken unto the voice of the voice of the Lord thy God, thou will be blessed in your in and in your out, in your house and in your field, in your city and in your town. Anywhere you go, you'll be blessed if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to keep and to obey his commandment. My brother and sister, that's what the blessing is. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, read it. Read it. Put it in your heart and in your mind. Let it be written there by the Lord in you. So you remember, when the Lord says no, the Lord means no. We need to hearken to that voice of the Lord that says no to these sinful, wicked things. My brother and sister, because those things will bring a curse into our lives. Hallelujah. Curse is everything. What is a curse? A curse is everything that is against you. A blessing is everything that is for you. Remember, everything that is a curse will be against you, will bring you headache, disagreement, division, sickness, and so much more. All that comes from the curse. The blessing brings healing, restoration, peace, and joy in the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of its mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Thank you, Lord. I believe this word is spoken in due season. As the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I said, Lord, are you going to answer me? He says, I will. And I was talking to the Lord because we've been talking about and the season we're entering where God is going to answer this prayer. The Lord confirmed. He said, yes, this is the season where I'm going to answer my children's prayer. He says, whatever it is, the salvation is he's first put up salvation. He first was talking to me about salvation, about family and friends, the people that were praying in our family that are not saved now, that are not walking with God, for them to walk with God, for them to know him, for them to be saved. The Lord says that they will be saved, he says to me this morning. Praise you, Lord. That's what we want. That's the best thing. Salvation is the most important thing, because if they have houses, cars, and other things, and a lot of money in the bank account, and die in sin, have everything been in vain, my brothers and sisters. But if they're poor and die safe, hallelujah, they got the riches they need in heaven from God, my brothers and sisters. That's the most valuable thing. Salvation is the most valuable thing. Before he spoke to me about any blessing, before he showed me any blessing, he showed me the salvation of our family to come to the Lord. That's what's in the heart of God first, the salvation of our family. Salvation is a soul he wants to save. This is why preaching the gospel is so important in the last days, that his word will go around. Take these audio, put it on your Facebook, put it on YouTube, put it anywhere. Take your testimony and put it on YouTube. Make a video of about your testimony and send me the link. I want to hear it too. It's an encouragement. Thank you, Lord. Put those testimony online. You will be surprised the person that God will use your testimony to save out there that needs to hear the Lord. Each and one of us, there are people whom the Lord wants to save through us, because each and one of us are unique. In our uniqueness, God will use our uniqueness to save people that will only listen to you and you and you and you. They may not listen to nobody else. But when God, when you put your life in the hand of Jesus and you let the Lord use you, you seek to be used by the Lord and let the Lord use you. When you speak, there are certain people that have said, I will not listen to nobody else. But when you share your testimony, they'll listen to you and they will not be able to turn away. When you pull your testimony up on YouTube, put it on YouTube. Put it on YouTube and watch what happened. And pray, fast and pray that the Lord will use your testimony and touch the heart of people that you're meant to speak to them. There are people in this world that God meant to speak to them through you. Be a tool, be a vessel in the hand of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't send nobody else to do it for you. No, because you are unique. Each and one of us are different in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he may speak to you in a special way that he will not do the same to someone else. Thank you, Lord. God can use anyone, but God has chosen his elect ones. And there are only few. This is what people don't understand. Many are called, Jesus said, but few are chosen. Those few that are chosen are special to the Lord, to God. God make them special. You may not feel special, but you are special that have been chosen by the Lord. And when you put your hand, your life in the hand of Jesus to use you, when you speak from him and that uniqueness that you are in God, God will use it to reach out and touch people in a way you cannot even imagine. You cannot even imagine. This is why you have to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to use you, to prepare your life to use you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Listen, Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. God has purposed you and I under the heaven to use us in the last day. Many are called and few are chosen. Remember that. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Very important. Praise you, Jesus. Isaiah 54. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He weakened morning by morning. He wakened my ear to hear as the learned. Notice how Isaiah says that the Lord is the one, hallelujah, that have wakened his ears to hear. And the season that God chosen to use the prophet Isaiah, my brother and sister, Isaiah said, he's given me a tongue of the learned, a wisdom, in other words, to be able to utter, speak his word unto the people, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waking morning by morning. He waking my ears to hear as he learn. It's a preparation of the Spirit of God in each believer that God has chosen in the last day. He prepare the tongue, prepare the life to use them in other people's life. My brother and sister, Isaiah was one of those children of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 5:24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who giveth rain, both the former rain, the former and the latter, in his season, he will serve unto us the appointed week of the harvest. Praise the Lord. This former rain that you and I are waiting is the last pouring of God's Spirit on the earth before the Lord take his bride home, my brother and sister. This former rain is called the revival in the last days, where God is going to revive those that are dead in sin, even though they're backsliding. It's like the entire earth have become a backsliding earth, people, my brother and sister. Why are there so many people being persecuted with the vaccine? Because they have not put their trust in the Lord, who will keep them, who will protect them from government and anybody else. They have not put the trust in the Lord. So the enemy see the open door, and then the government send their people to them, go vaccinate them by force, and they go after them. What becomes of these people? If they truly repent, the Lord will lead them to take something to remove the vaccine effect out of their body, and the Lord will receive their repentance and change their heart and prepare them to take them home. The Lord can do this. But why the vaccine? The vaccine is like a jail, a prison to the soul of these people. They will be in this prison until they truly, sincerely repent. There's no more playing around, my brother and sister. No playing around. God has been telling humanity to repent for years. Humanity has not hearkened to his voice. And now the consequence of sin is what's coming upon humanity. This is why in India, Argentina, and someone said Colombia, they're chasing these people to vaccinate them by force, to put on them the coronavirus by sin on their body by force. And the moment they get injected by it, they leave them. They leave them alone. Okay, you're fine. Go ahead. Go on with your life. Because this by sin goes into the DNA. It modified the DNA. There was some doctor that said in the U.S., oh, how can these believing Christians say that the vaccine will modify your DNA when it's just adding some pieces that it needs? That's what the modification is. God has made us one way, and government wanting us to be in another way, to behave like machines, where these servers, computers, supercomputers, can communicate with your DNA through that nanotechnology that's being put into the coronavirus vaccine. One of the Russian hackers was able to hack one of these servers. My brother and sister, we know that these Russian hackers are really good hackers, and there are many reasons why they do what they do, which a lot of people in the U.S. don't know why. They just don't know why, my brother and sister. But in Russia, people can make their own CPUs, processors, and memory, motherboards, and all that. There's no law in Russia that they cannot make them. In the U.S., there is law where you cannot make your own CPU, your own computer processor, or memory, or motherboard. If you try to make them and sell them, you break the law. There's law that you will break where you can go to jail for life. A lot of people don't know this. That's not a problem in Russia and many other countries. So these people in a garage can put together a CPU. And there are much information to learn how to make a CPU. It's not hard. It's simple. It's transistor. Transistor after transistor on top of transistor. Some student, some college, have put in hundreds of thousands of transistors one on top of another and make CPU simple. And they're usable. They work. My brother and sister, because they're just made to run 0 and 1. That's what CPU does. The transistor, they move 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1. Simple. And so these Russians can make them and make them more powerful than anyone. They thought that they were so behind on making these CPUs and a lot of information on they're actually ahead of many nations making them. They're in the billions and billions and trillions where they're making them and they're using them. There's a lot of unemployed engineers in Russia, and they learn this in college. My brother and sister, here you have to go to special school and go after special degree to make them. My brother and sister, and all that, I have researched this online and seen the difference and marvel what these people can do over there. Praise the Lord. So they can hack people's computer, cell phones, and much more easily with these supercomputer. They're fast, real, real fast, and they can be in and out in second with the personal information practically of anyone's. And that's why they hack the oil, these oil companies, and much more. They've been able to hack even the FBI. They've been able to hack with this computer. My brother and sister, they hack these servers that are connected with nanotechnology a few weeks ago. And according to this hacker, he was able to tell of some of the people that have been vaccinated where these servers are collecting information from them and sending information back to them that's been vaccinated. My brother insisted. And it's incredible. And it's what we've been talking about all along here. And the Lord's our warning people. If you take the coronavirus vaccine, what they do is, as they inject that in your body and modify your DNA, the nanotechnology in your body, day by day, is learning everything about you and sending that information to those servers wireless. This is why the 5G is so convenient to them, because they're able to transfer megabyte and gigabyte of data in seconds back and forward, back into the server, and the server back into your body. And then that nanotechnology, as I was reading, is learning in you, and that artificial intelligence is learning, is becoming more intelligent inside your body, and will know everything there is to know about you, including your own thoughts and desire. Haven't you noticed that your cell phone is listening to you? And a lot of time you talk about something, or before you say something, your cell phone already have the information. Why? Because Google came out with a technology, a neuroscience, which some say it came to them from the CIA, that's what it's all about, neuroscience studies the brain. And years ago, they say they have broken up the brain intelligence up to 74%. And now a lot of people believe they've done the 100%, but they're keeping it quiet. Google doesn't want to tell Apple, anybody else, if they have broken through a neural technology, the brain intelligence, how to go in and out of the brain. But we see with the latest update on the cell phones now, that they're able while you're thinking, it comes up on your phone right away. You don't even have to say anything. Some people had thought of something with their cell phone in their hand, and they immediately see the cell phone looking for it. How is that possible? Because the sensor on your phone can detect from your brain your intention, your desire, and much more, with point clear information on what you're thinking. My brother and sister, some people online haven't even been able to hack to some of these data software and are playing around with it to learn it, to see what these people are planning. My brother and sister, there's so much out there. I read about it, I research it, and I'm like, wow. I want the Lord really to come for us and get us out of here. I said, how long, how much is the Lord going to allow them to do? Well, they're seeing a lot. They've been able to do a lot. God created man in his image, in his likeness. There's nothing, no one more smarter than God, for sure. But man was not made, my brother and sister, like an animal. Man was made to be wise, to be knowledgeable, to be able to conquer space, moon, and so much more. My brother and sister, they just created a plane that they tested this past week. And it's to be able to put men in space, to travel through space, my brother and sister. They have these rich people, billionaire, go on this plane. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. I forget the name of the person that travel into space through this ship that they have put together, and they're making more. Okay? Elon Musk said that he don't know why NASA is so behind on their space conquering. They sure already had a base in the moon, a base in Mars, and a base in other planets, according to Elon Musk, because his SpaceX company only been around for a little bit, 10 years? Virgin Mobile, billionaire, amen. And, yeah, he tested the plane last week, and they were able to go into space in and out and practically be flawless, okay, or weightless in space. And they tested it, and it was a sex. They came back, and they said it's incredible. And an Amazon owner is making this his own plane to go into space. Elon Musk SpaceX company is making their own, and so this other person is doing the same. The different company now involved in all this. In Japan, they tested a car plane that they have overdeveloped now, where it can as a drone plane. Where I saw they were testing it, where it can pick you up in your house, fly up right away, Richard Branson, yes. Okay, and I saw a reporter that got into this room in Japan, and they got in it quickly, and they were able to move in seconds or minutes across the city through space quickly without any problem. And the drone has the artificial intelligence in it, where it will not hit a wire, will not hit trees, it can completely go in and out and deliver and all that. This technology is already being used in Japan. Russia is already moving into this, and so is China and all this technology. Already in China, there are drones doing delivery from company to company within minutes, where it takes hours long to deliver things and even days. In minutes in China, packages are being delivered by drones. The U.S. just started doing this, but already hundreds, maybe thousands of drones in China and Japan are delivering packages already. Planes from China to the U.S. are being fly by artificial intelligence also. And they're going to put in law in China that they want no pilot flying their plane. They want only artificial intelligence. Because it's 99.9 effective, that it will not get into accident and all that. And that's practically what Elon Musk is doing with his Tesla car. All that technology is being tested right now. And in the U.S., they say within 2 to 3 years in the United States, so it will be the same as China. They will not allow men to drive their trains, planes, my brother and sister, public buses, trucks. They want to put it into law where only artificial intelligence will do it because they drive them 99.9% safe without getting into accident, my brother and sister. Okay? One Tesla car got into an accident in California. I saw that video, and they were blaming it to the intelligence, to the Tesla software, and they find out it's a human error, not the software. Okay, someone got in front of the car. So someone caused the accident, not the software, and the same in Europe. So they already have tested it's 99.9 safe, and in China they're putting them into law. United States within 2 to 3 years they're putting them into law. Things are changing quickly. My brother and sister, just hope the Lord comes for us quickly also. Get us out of here, because this is going wicked. This is going artificial intelligence everywhere, my brother and sister. Even the decision of a government is being made by artificial intelligence. Elections are being made by artificial intelligence in the U.S. already, by software telling them how to do things, how to bowl, how to get people to bowl, and so much more, how to grow vegetable, how to put chemical and vegetable fruit, and much more. They're also doing that because artificial intelligence is telling them to do that. So much is happening, my brother and sister. But the Lord remains the same. Everything changes. You notice that? But the Lord remains the same. Jeremiah 33:20. Thou sayest the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day of my covenant of the night, that there should now be a day and night in their season. Can they break the Lord's covenant? No. When the Lord say judgment is going to come in the season, it will come and no one can change that. Right? They're manipulating weather like in China. Move the rain to where it doesn't hardly rain a year. They're able to do that in China. My brother and sister, men are changing things, but not God. God remained the same. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 34:26. I will make them a place around about my hill, a blessing. I will cause a shower to come down in his season, and there shall be a shower of blessing. Okay? In the season that God has chosen to bless us, the Lord says there will be a shower of blessing. Okay? I believe this shower is referred in regard to us, the last rain. This is a shower of blessing God has given us, the salvation of our family to come to Jesus, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Now, Daniel, this is the third part of this message, okay? Daniel 2:21, he changes the time and the season. He removed king and set up king. He gave wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that no understanding, okay? God to his own, to his elect, to his select one, okay, that are walking by faith with him, he can change the time and the season for them. Okay? Now, because we're talking about the season, how God does things in season, if you walk by faith, the season doesn't apply to you. You don't have to stick to 3-month season or 9-month season. Or like a sister said to my wife here from the Lord's Hour, Sister Lisa, you can have your daughter with no pain if you ask the Lord. My wife was surprised. Surprised of this. My wife was like, well, women usually have baby with pain when they're in labor. And even the Bible talks about the pain of labor. So the sister says, Sister Lisa, I have my children with no pain because I asked the Lord to take the pain when I was with my children, and he could do that. And my wife was surprised. Wow, I never heard of that. And so she, because of this advice of the sister, she began to pray for the Lord to take the pain when she will have our daughter. And the Lord did exactly that, my brother and sister. She had no pain having our daughter. Because the Lord, my brother and sister, in the season when she was to be born, she should have had pain naturally. But the season was changed in which she will have no pain because she asked. My brother and sister, every time you approach God according to his promise, your season changed. So you can say by faith, I'm going to change my season. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to have to wait like in a regular season, because I'm going to believe the Lord is going to do this sooner for me. Thank you, Lord. Again, he changes the time and the season. You and I, believer, are not bound by season, and we are not bound by time. Understand this. By faith, you're not bound by season. By faith, you're not bound by time. If you believe God, God can change the season, and God can change the time. He will remove king, set up king. He give wisdom to the wise. Okay? Thank you, Lord. So you don't have to wait 4 years for God to put Donald Trump back into office. It's every 4 years that a U.S. president gets to run again. If you pray for God to put Donald Trump in office again, even with Biden is in office, God can put him in there. He can remove Biden and put Donald Trump back into office. An example, he removed King and he set up King. God can set him up again. I thank you, Lord. That's the promise of the Lord to us. That's what he promised to us. It's up to us now to believe it. It's up to us now to walk by faith. It's up to us. And there's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. If you walk by faith this way, there's no condemnation for you. There's no way you can go to hell. And no one can condemn you for that. God will not condemn you. You just have to believe him. Change your season. Change your time. If you want to stay bound by season, okay. But you can believe God to change it for you. And it will be changed by faith. Hallelujah. Mountains are immovable, remember. But if you walk by faith, if you have faith as side of a mustard seed, you speak to the mountain to be thrown into the sea, and it will obey, Jesus said. You're not bound by the season. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We serve, hallelujah, a wonderful God. Matthew 21:41, they said unto him, we will be miserably destroyed, this wicked man, and will lay out his vineyard unto the husbandman, who shall render him the fruit and their season. Even for the wicked to be punished, God has a season to punish them. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Hallelujah. Who made his Lord, have made his ruler over his household. Whom the Lord have made his ruler over his household. So give them meat in due season. When we walk by faith with the Lord, and there is a need of food or anything, clothing, among us, among God's people. And we believe that if we pray for God to provide the food, even supernaturally, and provide the clothing, even supernaturally, my brothers and sisters, the Bible will call you faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord have made ruler over his household to get the meat in due season. Praise the Lord. Remember, where God can change the season and the time. And if you pray for this to happen, hallelujah, the season and time won't affect you. And it's due. Me, due, appointed. Now is the time. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will do so. I remember we were going to the prison, and there was a lack of Bibles. These people, the inmate, had no Bibles. And for some reason, when they asked for Bible, they were being told to buy it for themselves or call the family to buy it for them. But if you don't have Christian family in your family, how can you ask them, send me money for Bible? They will not do that. They'll send you money for cigarette and anything else, but not for Bible. My brother and sister. And we seeing this, I said to the brothers and sisters, as the group was growing, the Lord kept bringing more. Let's pray that the Lord will provide Bibles. My brother and sister, out of nowhere, a box of Bible was donated. My brother and sister, box of Bible was donated to us. And everybody was able to have Bible. Then the complaint was, Brother Elby, we don't have the instrument to play music in the church in prison. And we asked for the permission to do so. But we were told by the administration in the prison that there was no money for that. But if some organization or anyone wishes to donate the money for the equipment, that they could. And I saw a green line by then giving us permission. Brothers and sisters were sad. Oh, Brother Ari, you know, we don't have the money for that. And we didn't have the money for that. And they were saddened about the whole situation. And I said, listen, God provided the Bible. What's the difference that God providing the equipment we need? The instrument for music, the piano, the drums, the guitar, the bass, the microphone, the speakers. What's the problem in God providing these things? My brother and sister, and the speakers and microphones that we had, they were old. And they were in and out. It would speak, and if you speak too loud, the microphone will be out. Or the speaker amp will be out. Cannot take it anymore. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But that's where you see the faithfulness of the Lord when you pray. And you say, let's pray in agreement. This is why I tell people, prayer agreement. We pray in agreement for the Bible. Box got donated within a month. Everyone have new Bibles. Let's pray in agreement for the instrument. Let's ask the Lord, all of us together. There are more than 20 here. Imagine he only said two in my name, whatever they ask, my father will be given to them. Two. There are more than 20. Can you imagine the speed that we're putting on our prayer now with 20? Praise you, Lord. And we begin to pray. My brother and sister, the instrument started coming in new, donated. My brother and sister. And no one knew who donated them. They just started coming. The Lord started making these things happen. And so we had all the instrument that year for the service. All the music was heavenly, was beautiful. Praise the Lord. We also pray for gifts, knowing how to play the instrument. Out of the sight, and my brother and sister, it was beautiful. The Lord started giving the gifts, and people were playing like they were playing for years for the Lord. And the anointing and presence is so powerful in the service. Every week, my brother and sister, more people could come into the Lord, and the church could grow and increasing in number. Hallelujah. We pray for more people to be added. That's exactly what happened. The Lord kept adding more people every week to the service. And the presence of the Lord was ever much stronger. We asked the Lord to come and lay hand on the people. I asked Jesus one time in one of the service that we had all the instruments and everything. Hallelujah. We had the brothers and sisters, the brothers fasting and said, let's pray that we'll have a powerful service, that the Lord will do mighty things. So I ask the Lord in prayer and fasting, Lord, will you come to the service and lay hand on the sick? We have plenty of brothers coming in sick. My brother said there was cancer in prison, HIV, and so much more. Sick. Some were days to die. My brother and sister from the doctors, they didn't have much to go. Hallelujah. But I know a mighty God who's able to do all and everything. Let's believe the Lord. Let's ask the Lord through fasting and prayer, Lord, will you come and lay hand? And the Lord spoke, and I remember that morning to me. The service was the night. I was fasting and praying that week and asked the Lord, and Jesus came to me and spoke to me. And he says, I heard your prayer, and I'm going to come tonight, and I will touch them. I will lay hand on them and heal them. Jesus says to me, oh, man, that was the happiest moment in my life when Jesus said that to me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I was so nervous that day. I couldn't wait for the hours to come. The service was at 7 p.m. We had to drive about 45 minutes to the place, to the prison. And Jesus had told me that he was going to come and lay hand on them. My brothers and sisters, I was so excited. Praise you. I only looked for a few verses in the Bible and began to share. I said, brothers and sisters, the church started getting full, fuller people, because a lot of our brothers were fasting for this to happen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is so faithful. Whatever we ask in his name, he grants it to us. Praise you, Lord. I was so excited and so nervous at the same time. I don't know if you've been there. Excited and nervous. Praise you, Lord. But trusting Jesus, because he said he was going to come. And I said, please, Lord, do come. Hallelujah. I remember beginning the service. Hallelujah. As the brothers and sisters began to worship, the presence of the Lord was so thick in the air. It was like you can touch his presence. So heavy, so thick, so much freedom, so much anointing. My brother and sister, some of the brothers began to worship, and he baptized them in tongues right there. In his presence, they were being baptized in tongues. They were dancing and speaking in tongues, my brother and sister, beautifully. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I was so excited. The Lord was there. That's all you need. I remember showing the verses and said, my brothers and sisters, those that are sick, cancer, whatever it is, come forward. Laying in front of the pulpit. And we're going to ask Jesus to come and lay hand on you. I promise you, I'm not going to touch you with my hand. I'm going to stay away from you, feet away from you. And you can open your eyes and see me. I'm not going to move. I'm only going to ask Jesus to come and lay hand on you. It will be his hand on your forehead, whatever the Lord will touch you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. There were over 30 or 40 men that came forward sick, my brother and sister, with cancer and so much more. As we asked Jesus to come, as he promised he would, he came. Oh, when he came, there was like lightning in the spirit. But you can see the light like in the physical, in and out. And the Lord walked in the building, my brother and sister, and laid hand on people on the forehead, on the shoulder, on their body. People were shaking and falling by the anointing of Jesus powerfully, my brother and sister. I can tell you I never experienced anything like that before from the Lord. I didn't even know that you can ask for it. I asked him out of my spirit that came out to ask the Lord to come, my brother and sister. And he touched the forehead. Some people can feel lightning out of the hand of Jesus going over their body, shaking. But there was not a single person Jesus did not heal that night, my brother and sister. Everyone who had cancer, the cancer disappeared. How do I know this? A lot of these brothers went back to the doctor and asked the doctor to check them. And it was like they never had cancer in their body. Healed 100%. Confirmed by the doctor. Earthly doctor, my brother and sister. Oh, glory be unto Jesus. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. Oh, he is so faithful. Faithful him who sits upon the throne. Faithful is his throne. You can ask him this one day when you go home in the rapture. Ask Jesus about that service. Thank you, Lord. Everyone there that was there got healed by Jesus. I don't remember one person that went home that after the service said that they were sick. He healed them all, as his word says. You know the encouragement the Lord given me that day? Because he healed them all, as his word said. When he walked into Jerusalem, when the people came to him, the Bible says he healed them all. Imagine me in that, my brother and sister, early 2000 and even late 90, seeing Jesus doing this in people's life, in the ministry, the encouragement he gave me, how much he helped my faith, because he came to the service and healed them all that night. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Then when I thought he could not do nothing greater than that, because after that night, he kept baptizing people in the Spirit. Whenever people came to the service and received him and confessed him, we had them confess the Lord. When we would pray over them, I would raise my hand without touching them, and the Lord baptized them in tongue. They were speaking new tongue in the Spirit. My brother and sister, praising the Lord. It was mighty, mighty presence of Jesus, because I kept asking him to come. Lord, come. Lord, you come, please. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if I would ever had a more powerful service than that. Then we were invited to the level 7 prison in Shirley, Massachusetts. Praise the Lord. And I would share these things that the Lord had done in that other prison, because they were like less than a mile away from each other, the prisons, in the same Shirley, Massachusetts. When the Lord did that miracle, was a minimum prison. Now we were in the maximum level 7. And asked the brother and sister brothers to fast for the Lord to come and baptize them and give them gifts and even heal them. Praise the Lord. They have heard even from inmates that end up in the maximum telling them what God did in the other one. They were hearing, because a lot of them write to each other, and they were hearing the testimony of what the Lord did. And they were excited now that we were in the maximum. And said, Brother Elvie, can we have a service like this where the Lord will come? I said, yes, of course. My brother and sister, not expecting, in the Spirit, yes, we're expecting always for the Lord to do something awesome, but not expecting that will be bigger than the other miracle of him coming. Because this time, when he came, I only have experienced his power in heaven, not on earth. This time when he came, my brother insisted, before we began the service, he was already there. His presence was so strong. To be honest with you, I never felt the Lord, even in the church, so strong and so powerful like I felt him that day. My brother and sister, the Lord came so strongly with her presence that day that even the guard of the prison was shaking behind the wall. My brother and sister, their body was shaking behind the wall. These are 6.5, 6.7 feet men who spend most of their life lifting weights so they can deal with those inmates. My brother and sister, strong. And they were shaking outside the wall of the service that we were having. The Lord came with such a strong presence that I was lifted in the air. My brother and sister. And everyone that was there was going through the same experience I was going through. Every single person was baptized in tongue, speaking in tongue that night, where I could not speak anything else anymore, but only praise the Lord with my hand lifted as I was lifted in the air in the power of the Lord. It was supernatural power, Jesus, there. Imagine having a service where he came, and this time, more power still from Jesus. Oh, he loves souls. He loves souls. He loves the lost. My brothers and sisters, he has made this earth and everything in it, the Bible says, but he loves every single person, and he wants to save every single person. My brothers and sisters, the love that he has for the lost, we don't comprehend it. I don't comprehend it. I know you don't comprehend it. How can he love men so much? Well, he created men in his image and in his likeness. He truly loves his creation and will do anything for people. And we can see how he went to the cross and died for them. My brother and sister, carry the cross and went and died for humanity. Hallelujah. When I had those encounters with the Lord in that supernatural way, that changed my life as a believer. How can I be a normal Christian now? How can I speak like any other Christian? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How can I speak like anybody else as I experience the Lord in a supernatural way? My brother and sister, how can I be the same? How can I sit back and relax and not ask him to come? We had asked him to come here and heal the sick. He had visited people and waking up, hallelujah, open the year of the death. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. When we got invited to Washington to preach, he shook the building in the state. My brother and sister says, I have never experienced anything like that. Jesus came. The only thing I would ask him is to come, Lord. He visited me in the hotel. As I was on my knees praying, he says, I will come tonight. I will come tonight and visit the service. Hallelujah. He came and did mighty miracle. My brother and sister, people keep asking me, when you're coming back? When you're coming back? They keep asking because they experience the Lord like they never thought possible. There's level of Jesus. You can meet the person of Jesus one-on-one. He'll hug you. He'll speak to you. He's real. He is more real than you and I. My brother and sister, this person of Jesus, who is God Almighty, can visit you right where you are. Hallelujah. He can commune with you. He can come in, hallelujah, and sit down with you if you walk with him and ask him for it. Thank you, Lord. Ask Jesus to come. This morning when I had him in front of me, I said, Lord, what about my petition? He says, I will answer your petition. He says, so he looked at me and assured me he will. My brother and sister, he is real. I don't know what people are waiting for to ask him to come to the life, to commit their life to him and really get to know him as who he is. He wants you to know him and walk with him and learn of him every day, who is humble and meek of heart. And he will give you rest for your soul. All worry or concern will go away, and you will meet him. I know some of you are being touched by him right now. You can feel his presence and his reality in you. There's so much of him you haven't received that he can give you if you ask him. If you open your heart, he will. He wants to. He wants to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Even if I want to start sharing his word, he will come to me and say, no. Go and tell this to my children. Go say and speak this to them. Remember when a few months ago, Lord, I already been preaching for too long. I want to take it easy. I want to relax, Lord. He took me to heaven and took me into the wedding and showed me the wedding, that everything is ready for his bride. Then walk out of the building with me, right there next to me, like a friend. Like the Bible said that Abraham was a friend of God. He was walking with me, my brother and sister, with his long garment, his sandals. And we walked outside together. And he began to talk to me, my brother and sister. And I was stunned looking at his beauty and hearing his voice. But he was explaining to me, he says, go. I send you, go and speak to them. My word is my revelation, he says. Go share it with them. If they don't receive you, if they don't receive it, it's after them, he said. But if they receive it, they will be changed. Thank you, Lord. Share my word, he says. And I bow my hand. I say, yes, Lord, I will do that. But how can you say no to him when he is so loving and caring, when he is so good? It is a blessing to us to be obedient to him, to be able to serve him. We struggle so much, but he's our helper. We need to ask him to help us to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure, to be perfect like our Father who is in heaven. Help us to keep his commandments. If you don't ask him to help you, you will sin more and more, because this life is full of pride, doubt, and unbelief. Repent your pride, doubt, and unbelief every day to him, and ask him to help you, to walk with you. Say, Lord, walk with me. Help me. Lord, you show yourself real to Abraham. You came with two angels before you sent your angel to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord. You came to Abraham in the middle of the day, midst of the day. And you stayed with Abraham, Lord, and you spoke with him. You are not a stranger to your servant Abraham. Lord, don't be a stranger to me. As you reveal yourself to him, you reveal to yourself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They saw you. They spoke with you face to face. Then you reveal yourself to Moses, Lord, and to the children of Israel. Lord, reveal yourself to me also, Lord. I want to serve a real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our father spoke face to face with God. My brother and sister, the Bible says, if you seek him this way, you'll find him. He wants to reveal himself to you. He says to me, why do my children think I don't want to reveal myself to them? Hallelujah. If they seek me, they'll find me, he says. Praise you, Lord. He wants to. Hallelujah. Ask him to. Request of him to. But do it with all your heart. And say, Lord, I am willing to do anything you ask, Lord. But I would like to love you. Come to me, Lord. And talk to me, Lord. Reveal yourself to me, Lord. I want to know you as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham called him my Lord. He knew it was his God, not a stranger. He was not a stranger. Then he came to Gideon. He appeared unto him, the angel of the Lord. And to how many people he appeared as the angel of the Lord. But they call him my Lord. Only God is our Lord. They knew he was God. And they talked to him face to face. My brother and sister, he can do the same with you. He can speak with you face to face if you ask him to with all your heart. But it has to be with all your heart. Sometimes we say, I'm serving God. But you're probably only giving him 30%. I remember when I began to ask the Lord about this. Months have passed and years. And the Lord showed me my heart. 30% of my heart I was giving him and showed me. But the rest of my heart was not for him. Hallelujah. He wanted my heart. When you seek him with all your heart, the Bible says, you will find him. Maybe you were seeking him, but not with all your heart. Maybe 30% like me. That's why you have not found him face to face. Then the Lord worked with me and worked with me until I will give him all my heart. And then I saw him face to face. And he talked to me and guided me. Praise the Lord. And began to teach me. As he appeared to Abraham, he also appeared to me, but in the spirit I could see him. Praise you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. But no more I only see him part of his body. Now I can see him entirely. Praise the Lord. As they see him in heaven, so I see him. And as he speaks to people in heaven, he also spoke to me. Thank you, Lord. Walk with him like a friend in heaven. My brother and sister, in the millennium, several times. I don't even know how many times he done it. Praise the Lord. He's awesome God. He is good God. He is great God. He's not a stranger to me. He might be a stranger to you, but because you have not given him all your heart. Even when we say we have, we lie. Because let's say you say you have, but then the Lord said you haven't, then you lie. You have to ask him to help you, to serve him, to seek him with all your heart. My brother and sister, ask him. Ask him. Ask him to help you. Hallelujah. As I struggled so many times, I said to him one time, Lord, now I know that without you, Lord, there's nothing I can do. He smiled. He says, I'm glad you know this, my son, that without me, there's nothing you can do. Praise the Lord. A lot of Christians have not gotten to the level of John 15, 4 and 5. That separated from him, that without him, there's nothing we can do. You cannot keep the commandment without his help. You cannot be holy. You cannot be righteous. You cannot be pure. You cannot serve him. You cannot know his word without his help. Everything in him, we need his help. And that is called humility when you depend on him. Everyone in heaven depend on him. They walk in humility like him. They are humble and meek like him. And that's what he's calling us to learn of him. What do we learn of him? How when he was on earth, he submitted all his life to the Father. Even when he went to fast in the wilderness, he was guided to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said he was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus walked in the Spirit every single day on earth, my brother and sister. He depended on the guiding of the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, the word that I speak are spirit and truth. My brother and sister, hallelujah. He walked in the Spirit every day, teaching you and I to walk in the Spirit. He served the Father in the Spirit. That's why there was no condemnation on anything he did. Even when the Pharisee and scribe were condemning him for what he did, there was no condemnation for what he did because he walked in the Spirit. There is no condemnation to them that walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:1. Read it. No condemnation. There was no condemnation on Jesus, even when they were pointing fingers. Because he served the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. God was in him. So the person of the Holy Spirit every day, he was walking in the Spirit. He said, Thomas, don't you believe? When Thomas said, show us the Father. Don't you believe that if you see me, you have seen the Father? For the Father and I are one, he said. He said, glory of men I don't see, but of him who sent me. Praise your Lord. He is the greater example for you and I. You want to look to someone, read the gospel of Jesus. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it every day until you get it. Read about Jesus. Learn of him who is humble and meek of heart. Learn of him. Learn of Jesus, how to serve Father, how to serve God, how to walk in the Spirit. He was doing the word of the Father every day. My brother and sister, every time he spoke, he did not speak of himself, but the Father in him. My brother and sister, it was not his word. The word that I speak are now mine, he said. Hallelujah. Everything he did was to glorify the Father. The Father glorified the Son, and the Son glorified the Father. That's how it is in heaven, my brother and sister. That's why he prayed that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, my brother and sister. Teaching us how to pray. When you go to God, seek his will and not your own. Know that your own is nothing. And that will get to nowhere. But the will of God will get us everywhere. My brother and sister, it's perfect. If you are in the will of God, you will never fail in this life or in the life to come or in eternity. But it will go on producing fruit, love, and so much more. The reason why we sin, why we make so many mistakes, because we have a will, and we freely need to serve the Lord. Submit our will to his will and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, O God. Help me every day to serve you. Help me to keep the commandments, to be holy. Help me to be holy. Help me to be righteous. Help me to be pure. Help me reveal your word to me, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding, Lord, please. And the Lord will give you so. The Lord will give you the knowledge and wisdom you need to serve him, to walk with him. Say, Lord, reveal thyself to me as you promised. And the last day you will reveal, hallelujah, and your Father to us. Reveal thyself to me. Seek him like Abraham saw him, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Moses, like David. They saw his face. They saw to be in one. David saw to be in with the Lord. Every day that David spent that was not in the presence of the Lord was painful to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Every day that he spent. Hallelujah. Listen to this. In Psalm 42, my soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When should I come and appear before God? My tear has been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I put out my soul within me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joys and praise, with the multitude that kept thy holiday. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquiet within me? Hold thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember thee from the land of the Jordan, of the Hermonite, from the hill of Mizar. Thee call unto thee at the noise of thy water sprout. all thy wave, all thy below, have gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his son shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. David said he prayed to God day and night. He would inquire God day and night in his relationship with God. David prayed in the daytime, and in the night his son shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. He said, day and night he sought Jesus. He sought to be with him in the presence of my God, he said. There was nothing more special to him than being in the presence of his God. My brother and sister, he was being persecuted by Saul and his men. Saul sought to kill him. But he was not concerned with that. He was more concerned with being in the presence of the Lord. What's concerning you? Is it more important than being in the presence of the Lord, than spending time with him? Is your concern more than being spending time with Jesus? That's what a lot of people have allowed in their life. They're so worried, sinning, so concerned, sinning, than spending time with the Lord in prayer, fasting, in his word, communing with him, seeking his will, his plan, his purpose, his season, commanding the season to be changed for you, in his presence and his guidance, that your prayer request will be answered in due season, that you'll have all you need for the work of the kingdom, for soul to come to the Lord. My brother and sister, we concern ourselves with the thing that perish so much instead of just being for the things that last forever, for the eternal things. Salvation is eternal. My brother and sister, will I come for the gift of eternal life in our lives? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Thank you, Jesus. He loves us. He has a revival for us. Listen to this confirmation.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again today for another word from the Lord. Today is July the 9th of 2021. The word the Lord has given me to share today is not something he hasn't spoken about before. And so though the concept of what the Lord is sharing is not new, I felt that it was important to him to be released, not only to understand what the plan of the Lord is, but to understand the heart of God, the Father, and of Jesus. Because though we may see God as far off, who has a series of events planned for the world and for its end and a new era afterward, we need to understand that these events are not empty, but they are filled with the love and compassion of God for mankind. And I believe that is the message that is to be brought forth today to encourage those listening that God is not far off. He's an intimate God who is passionately in love with his creation. And yes, a time of judgment is coming upon those who do not receive the salvation that he offers and who are wicked, because God is a holy God. But it's important to understand that God desires that none should perish. And so I hope as you listen to this word today, you will become more familiar with God's heart of love and see things from his perspective, that the end is coming, that there will be an end to things on earth as we know. And there will be a time of judgment. And we could say, well, why doesn't God bring his judgment upon the unjust in our world today? And there's a very good answer to why he doesn't. It's because of his love and his heart desire that every man, woman, and child would be saved. The scriptures tell us that there's one great event that takes place before the end, and that is the harvest. And for the harvest to come in, the Lord is releasing revival in our midst, giving every man, woman, and child the opportunity to hear his word and to be saved. As we go through this word, I hope you will open your heart to receive the message of God's love for you, for your loved ones, and for mankind in general. I'll begin reading scripture. Luke 15, verse 20 to 23. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This scripture passage speaks of the prodigal son who left his father's house to squander his wealth on wicked living. But when he came to his senses and repented of his sin, the father received him wholeheartedly with love and compassion. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father and his heart toward the prodigals. John 3:16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This scripture passage is clear about God's love for all the people of the world, and that Jesus' mission in the earth was not to bring condemnation, but to bring salvation. Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This scripture, too, reveals the heart of compassion that God has for those who are lost, and his desire to send out those who would bring these into the kingdom of God. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So this scripture tells us that God's heart is to release his word into the world so that all may hear and have opportunity to be saved. And that this event of the harvest is the last event on God's timetable prior to the end And for those listening today, I would like to encourage you that we are in the end of the end times, and the revival and the harvest are the greatest events to take place at the culmination of this age, and we are entering this time period. I'll begin reading the word. Increased activity, increased vision. I am birthing into you a revelation for the lost, a vision of the fields, says the Lord. I am giving you discernment like you have not yet known. Partake of my goodness. I am reaching out to you, extending my hand, and bringing healing to multitudes. Watch to see how I lift the bands and do an awesome work amongst the people. Backsliders will run to gather at the altar. Prodigals will turn back homeward. I am shifting things. No longer will my house be vacant, but it shall be full, says the Lord. A release of the prophetic giftings will usher in revival and an end time harvest. Catch the wind and sail with my plan. I have instructed many in the way of outreach. This is the day when the sinner shall turn his back on sin. I will collect these, gather them in, heal their diseases, and cause them to function in the call upon their lives. They are those least expected to be used of the Father that I will use. Call to me, reach out to me. I am not far off, but very near. I will give to you the desire of your heart, the Father's desire planted within you to house the lonely and feed the hungry, to be a father to the fatherless and a companion to the broken. Watch to see what I do, says the Lord, how I erase the past and bring about the future. You know that the present life is slipping away and a new day has dawned, a day of grandeur. I am opening the heavens and pouring out such a rain that no one will be able to run and hide from it. It is a rain of righteousness. Once again, I will bring conviction of sin to the hearts of the people. Once again, I will sanctify and bring hope to the hopeless. Broaden your view, your perspective. I will counsel, give guidance. I will do those things that you consider a burden. I will work through the problems. Just as I promised, I will heal the brokenhearted, give sight to the blind, and release the captives out of captivity, says the Lord. I am an awesome God who continues to seek and save that which is lost. I am not like an earthly father who only thinks of himself. My heart beats with compassion for the children, and I will fulfill my mandate to you to heal and restore your children into right relationship with me. Watch to see how I send manna from heaven into a dry and desert place. Watch to see how I usher down my blessings as rain upon those who have been broken and helpless. Do not think that I will not supply every need. Do not think that I would not want to bring refreshing into the lives of those who have wandered aimlessly in a desert land. I hear the cries of the people. I hear the heart cry, and I will answer and I will heal, says the Lord. Forgive and restore back all the canker worm has eaten. These are the days you are living in. This is the day when the harvest fields shall be harvested, when the outcast will be welcomed in, and the Lord's house shall be full. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare for his coming to the nations. Declare his handiwork. Tell of his awesome deeds. Make known the mysteries being revealed in this day to his servants, the prophets. Make known the heartbeat of the Father to this generation. You will see that the ears of the hearers are opening and the message is being received. I am opening the portals, says the Lord. Soon a free flow of the word will flood the earth. Have I not said I would build my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Well, this is the way in which the house shall be built. I am sending my word forth to reach the ends of the earth, and I am positioning my apostles to give counsel to those who err. I am birthing my kingdom into the hearts of men, and the building shall go up as per plan. Rejoice and be glad, for I have called and appointed many to the task, says the Lord. I have increased and stepped up my ranks. Watch to see how I bring order and reconciliation within the body and order into the house. Divine purpose, divine intervention shall take place. Be ready to be ushered forward. So I hope all of you listening to this word have caught a hold of God's heartbeat for the nations. He is extending himself in this day to bring in the harvest, and he is putting his heart into the hearts of his people who will function in his compassion to reach the lost. And all of this in preparation for the end, which is the Lord's return. Thank you for listening today. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye for now. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel. Today is July the 13th of 2021. The word I'd like to release to you today piggybacks on the word released yesterday, as it seems the Lord is sharing his heart about the times that we are living in. But so that those who may find these messages confusing regarding where we are on God's timeline of events, I would like to clarify my understanding of the order of end time events. Not that my understanding would dictate, but as I have pondered the words the Lord has given me, I've tried to put the puzzle together in my own mind. I think we can all agree that we are living in the end times, that the stage is being set, not just for the Lord's return, but for the time of the tribulation and the revealing of the Antichrist. I think most of us have a sense that we are in the preliminary stages of these events taking place. And the speed at which these events are taking place is escalating. If you ask me where I think we are on God's timeline of events, I would say that we are at the end of the church era, and that we are beginning to experience the last event of the church age before we are raptured. And that event is the harvest. Once the harvest is brought in, I believe the Lord will rapture his church. And this is prior to the great tribulation. During that time, I believe the church is experiencing the marriage supper of the Lamb. After the 7-year period of the tribulation, I believe that we will return with the Lord to fight the battle of Armageddon, where all the wicked on the earth are destroyed, which, by the way, I believe, according to Scripture, is quickly accomplished. And then the Lord Jesus will set up his reign upon the earth for 1,000 years, known as the millennial reign of Christ, and that we will reign and rule with him. I understand there are many different positions on when the rapture will take place, but my belief and understanding is that it will take place prior to the tribulation. And I believe that the rapture could take place any time, that the signs of the times we are living in are assuring us that the time of the Lord's return is soon. And just as the flood destroyed the earth in Noah's day, the judgment and wrath of God is ready to be poured out because mankind has pushed its limits to excel in its sinful nature. We just have to look at the advancement in technology and the sciences to see how mankind has digressed. We call it advancement, but truly it is a digression. The world is becoming more wicked by the minute. And so we should not be surprised that it would be time for the Lord to step in and to say, that is enough. And so we could ask, what is the positioning of God's people during this time previous to the rapture? And the answer to that is that we are victorious. That isn't going to change. We are overcomers. And this word today will encourage you that God has you in his hands and he is taking you into your destiny. These are glorious days for the Church of Jesus Christ. I'll begin reading scripture, Revelation 17, 12 through 14. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. This scripture speaks of the Antichrist and the war that he wages against the Lord. And to my understanding, that becomes the Battle of Armageddon. What's interesting here is that the Antichrist is given power and authority for 1 hour. And we know that God's definition of time is different than ours. And yet, this scripture encourages us that this battle will not be long and drawn out, that Jesus is able to triumph over the enemy quickly and victoriously. This scripture, too, enlightens us to the fact that we will be in this battle with him, triumphing with him. Revelation 21, verses 2 through 4. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, behold, God's dwelling is with people, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away from them every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things have passed away. I believe this scripture refers to the millennial reign of Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom in its fullness upon the earth. So if we look at both of these scripture references together, we can be encouraged that the emphasis is not on the Battle of Armageddon, but on the victory of God over sin as he establishes a new sinless society upon the earth. and fulfills his plan of redemption. I'll begin reading the word. Trying times are coming, times of famine in the land, but I am positioning my elect as overcomers who have learned that their dependency is not on the things the world has to offer, but on me, says the Lord. They have learned to look to me for all their needs. They have discovered that I am the source that never dries up. How I have waited for a people to call my own, a people brought through the refining fire and coming out as pure gold. How long I have waited for the time when my name will be made manifest in the earth through earthen vessels, when my people have no other gods before me, but cling to me as their only hope. What a day this is! I will lead my beloved into the wealth of nations, into the streams of living waters, into the full spectrum of my glory, because they are not conformed to the world and its ways, but have been transformed by my spirit into living epistles to be read by all. I will move you forward on and into your destiny. I have so much planned for you, so much is yet in store. Do not doubt that I would heal you and provide for you. I have a plan that cannot be comprehended by men, says the Lord. I am moving my own into positions of authority and bathing them in my presence and glory. The world will stand amazed when my own rise up in the land. This is what many call the underground church because it cannot be seen on the surface. It is not contained within the walls of man's institution. It is scattered throughout the earth in obscure places. But the day is coming when my sons and daughters shall arise in the earth for all to see. These are the ones I have mentored in the secret place. These are those who wandered far and wide looking for a heavenly home. These are those who did not fit within the boundaries prepared for them by the religious establishment. I have had them in hiding, but in this day these shall arise to take their rightful place of authority prepared for them since the beginning of time. I am speaking to the hearts of these and moving them out into full view, says the Lord. I am ushering them forward by the power of my hand. These have heard the call to come out of the world, out from among men who have been set apart and changed in my presence. They came to me, and I have taken them into the place of rest. These are my spokespersons, my chosen, who will demonstrate my power to the rest of the world. They shall walk in the full measure of my spirit into all the earth, to gather up the harvest. The clarion call has gone out, and I have released my angels into the fields. This is the day when the nations shall gather against my elect, but with one swift swing of my sword, I shall cut them down. Have you anticipated this day? Have you pondered the end of all things as you know them? I tell you, the time is short, for I am mustering up my army, and the battle will begin. Light will overtake darkness, for I shall come with my armies in heaven and put the enemy under my feet. I shall come to reign and rule in the earth. All sorrow shall flee away, and the mourning dove shall be heard in the land. This is the morning of the third day, and I shall come with those who are mine to establish my kingdom rule over all the earth. The time is soon. As I mentioned, this is another word regarding the end of the end times that we are living in and the events that are still on God's timetable. Once again, this word speaks of those who have been hidden and who will be taken out of hiding and paraded forth in the earth, functioning in demonstrations of the power of God for the purpose of bringing in the harvest. This is the overcoming church, the valiant church, the victorious church. This is the positioning of the church prior to the rapture. So be encouraged that the world as we know it is truly passing away, along with its grief and pain and suffering, and the stage is being set for the Lord to implement his rulership in the earth for his millennial reign. I hope this word has blessed you on this day, and though it has reiterated what has been said in other videos, these words should not be underestimated, because this is our future and things are moving forward at a rapid pace. Thank you for listening today. Have a great afternoon. May the Lord keep you under his wing of protection and encourage you to stay focused on him and what he is doing in this day. Till next time, bye for now.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Killer 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and yes, I'm back again today with the prophecy that I told you I was hearing. So join me in the King James Version Bible. I opened right to this. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's do verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All right, I already have the Holy Spirit all over me. Okay, now this is really long. Now, I know when I was getting the scriptures for it, I was like, what? So I got this again this morning when I was praying. I'm going to say, I started getting in the 6 to 7 o'clock a.m. range. Now, today is July 11th, 2021. Daughter, speak to the multitude. I am not slack. I have delayed and have been patient because I want none to perish. Because man has not seen judgment for his sin, he has grown more evil. Abominations, more evil. Crimes against the homeless and elderly, more brutal. Crimes against his children and children of others, more heinous. Evil thoughts continuously. Every man will stand before me and answer for this behavior, every word, every deed. My judgment comes with fire. You have been given my written word to study. You have been given my commandments and statutes. Many have heard my warnings and have heeded the warning and prepared for the coming apocalypse. I have poured out my spirit on both young and old, both male and female. I have shown you what is coming and what will be in dreams and visions. These events that I have revealed will come to pass exactly as was shown to my messengers and prophets. I will close the mouths of the liars, false dreamers, and false prophets. I have not sent them. They cause division and confusion in my body. They lead many away from my truth and my will. They have made a mockery of my spiritual gifts, using them as entertainment and a money-making tool. What an evil, wicked people. They do not help the needy and the poor. They store up treasures on earth. I do not know them. I will expose them for who they are, workers of iniquity. Once again, I will turn over the money changer tables in my house. Whoa! I will silence those speaking another gospel. Judgments begin in the house of God. I love my children. I will purify and refine them in the furnace of affliction. I am not slack. I am at your door knocking. The great burning is at hand. Repent and follow me. I am the lamb that was slain. I am the only way to the Father. Let no man deceive you. Whoa, how about that? If you don't know him, you better start running around. And I mean that absolutely seriously here. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to know his word. He said he gave it to us to study. You have to read the Bible front to back. I'm going to keep saying this until it's my last breath. I'll be laying on the floor. The camera will be flipped over of me on the floor saying, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. This is how serious this is. He wouldn't keep on giving this over and over and over, not to just me. Now, I've had three confirmations already on this prophecy. It's going to come right down to the wire. You're going to have to choose a good or evil. You're going to have to decide what you want to do and where you're going to go. It's happening. It's not going away. You heard the whole thing. Listen to it again, and I hope somebody puts the translations all over there. Read it again a few times, more than once. Let it sink in. See, now, if I was in better shape, I would print this off, and I would put this on every door of my condo. They would probably think I was nuts, but I don't care. This is how important and urgent this message is. Over and over and over, he's telling us the same thing. Let's look at it again. I know there's a few things that made my hair stand up as I was getting it. Oh, this part. This is for those, what do they call them now? Prosperity. As soon as I got this, I know this was for those prosperity churches, those mega churches all over the TV. And I've seen false YouTube people doing the same thing. When he's talking about, they've made a mockery, this, of my spiritual gifts, using them for as entertainment and money-making tools. Now, I remember years ago, and I told you this, when I would be painting or stenciling or something, I would have the TV on, and I'd be on the top of the ladder listening to some of these prosperity people to see what they had to say. And I just thought, when he brought this to my attention, there was a man on there, I'm not going to say his name, I don't like to do that, but he used to go ahead and have people come up that were sick and stand by him. And then he'd tap on them, and they'd tip over on the floor, and they'd stand up like they were all better. I was like, oh, no. You knew it was fake. It was blatantly fake. You could tell, absolutely. Same thing with these other people. Again, I'm not going to say who they are. I'm sure you know exactly who I'm talking about. The other gentleman, I actually have a prophecy out there, actually, to him. I'm holding up his Bible, saying, things are going to be great. You're going to be having a blessing of money and all this other stuff. Yes, that's not how it works. His plan is not that you have a blessing of money and all this other stuff. His plan is that you help other people. And what is he saying here about the money? He says right in here, where is it? If I could find it, you're storing up treasure on earth. Where is it? Da-da-da-da-da. You'll answer before me for your behavior. Part of the spirit. Okay, can't find it, but I know it's in here. That you're storing up treasure on earth. That is not his plan. Oh, here it is. They store up treasures on earth. I do not know them. Imagine standing before the Lord with your 10 airplanes and your zillions of dollars in the bank. And he says you stored up treasures on earth. Where's your heavenly treasure? Where is it? You don't have any. To you. Is he talking to you in any of these things? Whenever I get a prophecy like this, I sit there and I examine myself. I go through every sentence and I say, am I doing this? Is this for me? Because people don't want to think it's for them. That's why he's having me say it by my mouth and that you hear it with your ears. He wants you to think about it. Is it for you? Every single one of the prophecy messages, I did the same thing over. I go through every sentence, and I want you to do this. This is how you test the spirits and know what's going on. He will give you discernment. That's why I said I have three confirmations already on this. The horrible thing is, again, what I went back to again was, the people saying, I saw a few of these that I was like, what? Making of prophecy messages. As soon as the word came out of their mouth, I knew it wasn't from God. It was ridiculous. Discerning of spirits said, shut it off. I didn't even want to see anymore. I felt dirty after listening to it. You should too. God gives you the spirit of discernment. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have a wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. This is what he wants. He doesn't want you watching this nonsense on TV, these fake preachers that are telling you that no one's going to hell, everything's great, you're going to be fine, we're going to have a big party up in heaven. That is not him. If they're preaching that, they're preaching another gospel. It's not his gospel. And he says right in there, they're preaching another gospel. I have another prophecy out there. Yes, it's the gospel of, what did he call it? Devils and demons. That's what he called it. Same thing, the prosperity gospel. Nowhere ever does it say that you're going to be having a zillion dollars and be having a grand old time down here. You're not here for that reason. If you think you are, you're sadly mistaken. He gives you a purpose in your life. He makes you go through things, trials, tests, and he says right in there, the furnace of affliction, you're refined and purified. Every single thing you're going through right now is for a reason. If you're having a bad day, if somebody in the sick family is sick or having some sort of issue, you're going through that for a reason. You're supposed to learn from these things. These are the lessons he's teaching you. I told you my lesson in patience. 10 years I sit there waiting for an answer. Maybe I shouldn't have prayed for patience. This is what he does. This is how he teaches you. Just now, when you're done with this prophecy or this message listening to me, you might sit there for 5 minutes and think about it. Think about your life. Examine yourself. Do you know the Lord? If he comes tonight and today's your last breath, are you going with him if he comes for you? Are you? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to spend eternity with him? Will you? If he asks you or says to you, well, you know, Barbara, you're 60 years old. How many times did you read my book? Did you read my book? Can you answer him if he says that to you? Can you? He's going to ask you. He's going to ask you. He's going to say, remember when you heard a part of that prophecy that you didn't understand? That was for you. Did you Google it? Did you research it? Did you study it? Did you get books? That was for you. You're going to stand before him. I could just give you a little taste of maybe what some of the questions might be like. You're not going to get away with anything. He sees everything you do. He's seen every abomination. What else did he say in here that made my hair stand up? About the elderly. Oh, okay, this. I know exactly what this was when he said it, because I remember seeing it. Crimes against his children. Crimes against, let's see, homeless and elderly. I saw some videos that were shocking of people out there and what was happening. Crimes against children and the children of others. And I saw this. I'm going to just say this. And I don't want to relate it with anything. Years ago when my son was about 6, and he was like, he didn't have attention deficit disorder, but there was something not right, and it turned out he had bipolar disorder. He had mood swings. He was very moody. So he was, like, interested in playing when he was watching cartoons with karate. So I thought, that might be a good idea to get him involved in something like that. So I did it. So I took him to the karate studio a few times, maybe 2 or 3 times. I watched the kids doing whatever they were doing. Then I'd come back, I'd leave sometimes, maybe run to the store and then come back and pick him up when it was done. So I'm looking at the local news because I don't have newspaper or TV. I'm looking at the local news on Facebook, clicking down, scrolling down, and I see a picture of a guy. That guy looks familiar. Read underneath. Oh no. This guy is the local guy who had a karate studio. Oh no, worse. Yes, and he was molesting children. He was just arrested for how many counts of molestation? Imagine this. I almost fell off of my chair when I was like, oh no. So then I'm thinking about what went on with Joseph at the karate. Oh, Mommy, I don't think I want to go anymore. I don't think I really like it. Thank God he wasn't gone there much. I think we maybe only had a few visits, maybe a month or so. Can you imagine?